Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, December 26, 1979, Midwinter Camp Meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is tape two of two tapes by Bill Britton entitled Two Brothers.
So blessed him that Potiphar turned the key over to him and said, here, Joseph, you take the key to the storehouse. Anybody needs anything, you feed them. Anybody needs clothes, you clothe them. Anybody has any needs, you take care of all my business here. Even though he's still a slave, he had the key to the storehouse. And even though Jesus lived here on earth among all the other slaves, the human race, himself in the form of a slave, yet he had the key to the storehouse. Any of the other slaves needed to be healed. They needed food. They needed something. He had the key. He could open the storehouse and give it to them. And then Joseph was falsely accused. The old wicked harlot tried to get him to put his life into her. Just as Satan's tried to get that life of the Holy Son of God to bow down to him. But Joseph wouldn't do it. And he was falsely accused and put into prison. And when those bars clanged behind him, when that gate shut behind him in that prison house, that was not a 90-day sentence. That was not in for 3 years, out on good behavior in 18 months. When that gate shut behind him, that was for life. There was no way out. He was shut up. That was death to a normal life. When he went into that prison house, as far as the natural man is concerned, he was dead to life anymore. And when Jesus went to that cross, brother, they considered him dead. He went into the prison house of death. But thank God that in God's hour, God raised Joseph out of that prison house and set him in one day upon that throne beside himself to rule all Egypt. And so God raised Jesus out of that tomb and brought him up and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly place to rule and reign over all of his creation. And all power, he said, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, or Joseph, is a beautiful picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the elder brother. But as soon as he was born, his very name meant, Joseph I'm talking about, meant there's another son coming. And those brothers that hated him, boy, they did. They called him, that dreamer. And the father loved him so much and all that, and they hated him for it. But you know, every time they would say to him, hey, little Joe. Hey, Joseph. Papa's darling. Every time they call him Joseph, you know what they're doing? They're prophesying. They're prophesying another son's coming. Rachel's going to have another son. Every time they holler Joseph, that's what they're doing. They're prophesying. And you want to know something? Every time somebody calls upon Jesus, every time they mention his name, they're prophesying. Because the very birth of Jesus into this world, and the very thing when he came into this world to do, he said, I've got to lay my life down to bring forth the harvest. The reason I'm coming into this world is to bring forth many sons to glory. And every time somebody mentions Jesus, they're talking about a prophecy, another son is coming. Hallelujah. All right. Now that son came. I want to talk about him. Over in chapter 35. Hallelujah. First of all, when they left, now I want you to notice something. Over here in chapter 32, Jacob fled from Laban's house. He started back home, but he was concerned about what his brother Esau would do when he got back home. He was worried about that. So, on the way back home, he got off one night and began to wrestle with a man. This is in chapter 32 of Genesis. And he wrestled all night. And this man happened to be the angel of the Lord, or the presence of the Lord himself. And all night, God's wrestling with Jacob. You know the story quite well, I'm sure. And at the break of day, the man said, let me go. And Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me. I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me. And he said to Jacob, he said, what's your name? Now, would you consider that a moment? God has been wrestling with a man all night and don't even know what his name is. Don't know who he's wrestling with? Why does he have to ask him his name after wrestling with him all night? Sure, God knows who he's wrestling with, but he wants Jacob to know who he's wrestling with. He wants Jacob to know what he is. He wants him to realize something. And so Jacob says, when God asks him, what's your name? Jacob says, my name is Jacob. And the Amplified brings it out because this is what the Hebrew makes so clear that it's not brought out in our English translation. And in the shock of realization, the Amplified says, in the shock of realization, whispering, he said, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. All of a sudden it dawned on him. He's wanting God to bless that old swindler nature of his. Let me keep my Adam nature, Lord. Just you anoint it and bless it. Let me rule and reign with you. Let old Adam live. God said, uh-uh. Got to be a change. That old Jacob's got to go. Got to be a new man happen. Hallelujah. That couldn't happen until after Joseph was born. Did you know until after Jesus came, no matter how good you were, no matter how much faith, you might have had faith enough to roll back the Red Sea. You might have had faith enough to call fire down from heaven. You might have had faith enough to shut the mouths of the lions. You might have had faith enough to bring the dead to life again. All those men back there in chapter 11, how the book of Hebrews did, and yet it said they did not receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What was it? It had to be a nature change. Amen. And they couldn't get that nature change until Jesus came. Those Old Testament saints couldn't go through that change of their nature because the Joseph hadn't been born yet. And Jacob couldn't wrestle with God and get his nature changed and his name changed to Israel, a prince with God, until after Joseph was born. Hallelujah. But after Joseph was born, after that shadow of Jesus came into the world, then Jacob met God, and God said, Jacob, I want you to look at your nature. I want to see what you are. And Jacob said, my Lord, here I am a swindler, a trickster. I'm a cheater. My nature is wicked. He said, yeah, but you've been wrestling with God, and I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to cripple you. You know, you can't walk on your own like you used to. And he did. He touched him in his thigh. But he said, I'm going to change your name. No more shall you be Jacob, but your name is going to be called Israel, a contender with God. Now we go to chapter 33, and again, chapter 35, and again God meets with Jacob. And this is on his journey here, and his wife is about to have another baby. Hallelujah. And God said to him in verse 10, Genesis 35:10, and God said to him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name, and he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, just one minute. I want to remind you, he's got 11 sons, okay? And yet God is saying to him, not you have been fruitful, you have multiplied, but he said, now, Jacob, I'm going to change your nature. You're not going to be Jacob anymore. You're going to be Israel. Now, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. All right. I'd about to get off on another 45 minutes there, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay right here with this. So he says, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Where do you think that Peter got his revelation in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9? Huh? When he said these tremendous words, listen to it. You are a chosen generation, people of God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. You, the sons of God. You, the Benjamin Company. The younger brother. You are a holy nation. You're that nation that I told Israel would come out of his loins. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A royal priesthood. Kings and priests. Now he says, Jacob, Israel, be fruitful, multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Not kings have come out of your loins, but kings shall come out of your loins. He's talking about another son's going to be born. He's talking about out of this son's going to come some kings. He's giving us a picture here of what's going to happen with this younger son. And verse 16, they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. Now, you know, it does not say anything about Rachel having hard labor when she was with Joseph. That was a joyous time, the birth of Joseph and that heavenly Joseph. The angels sang. The shepherds rejoiced. The wise men saw the stars and came. Oh, it was a time of peace on earth and goodwill to men when Joseph was born. But when Benjamin's born, it's a time of hard travail for this one. I want to tell you, when Jesus came to this earth, it was the most beautiful thing that ever happened in the world. Civilization changed. Nations changed. Hospitals began to spring up. Hope sprung up for the human race. But I want to tell you what's happening to the world today. The world today is in hard labor. And that labor is going to continue until a son is born. Don't expect it to get better. Don't look for Carter or Kennedy or anybody else to set up a utopia in this land or in this world. This world's in hard labor. And that labor is going to continue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Till the human race brings forth. Out of humanity, there's going to come a son, a younger son, a brother to Joseph, a full brother to Joseph. Not just a half-brother, like Reuben and Naphtali and Gad and Dan and the rest of them, the ones that sold him, the ones that caused him to go down into the prison house. But I'm talking about a full brother. And Benjamin was the one brother out of all of his brothers that had nothing to do with him being sold into slavery. He wasn't there. The 10 other boys were there, and they received each one of them 2 pieces of silver for their deed, a witness of their sin. 20 pieces of silver they got for him when they sold him to the Ishmaelites. 2 pieces apiece for the 10 of them. Benjamin wasn't there. Hallelujah. It was that old nature that sold him down the drain, friends. He was crucified because of our old carnal nature, that nature of sin. There's a new man coming that had nothing to do with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he purchased us and bought us by his blood to bring us into that new creation man. And so, hard labor is upon this. And you know, one other thing I've noticed about too, even though Rachel was blessed with the birth of Joseph, God has taken narrow reproach. If you follow her history, you find out when she left Laban's house, her father's house, she took some of his idols with her. She still had some idolatry in her. How many of you know that even though you've been redeemed and born again and bought by the blood of Jesus and your sins washed away, still some things in there need to be cleansed? Hallelujah. And I appreciate a place of deliverance. Some people say, oh, I've been born again. No, I don't need any deliverance. Look underneath. That's what you're sitting on. And find out there might be an idol under there. But I want to tell you something. She didn't have any idols in her house after Benjamin was born. No. Because she died. And I want to tell you something too, brother. That old nature is going to completely die before this new son, or with the birth of this new son. There's going to be a death to that old nature. Hallelujah. All right. So it says, and it came to pass that she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. How she knows the son? 50-50 chance? She's just taking a chance? No, she wasn't taking a chance. Because this has been a prophecy, a word of the Lord to come. There's going to be another son. Amen. How do we know that this revival that God is doing now is going to bring a creation out of its bondage to decay and death and bring it into the glorious liberty of the sons of God? Because we have the word of the Lord on it. Yeah. Because we have the word of the Lord. The Lord's already spoken about this. Hallelujah. There's going to be a son. All right? And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. But his father said, oh no. He might have caused his mother sorrow, but he said, that's not going to be his name. He's not going to be remembered always for the sorrow that came. There's going to be some joy. I want to tell you, it's hard labor in the world today, and the world doesn't know why. They don't know why. Other shortages, the energy shortages, water shortages, food shortages, crime, and drugs, and starvation all across the world today. They don't know why the world's in travail. There's no revelation coming to the heart that God's bringing forth a son. And they would call this, if they said, well, yeah, if they had come to the realization, this is what's causing my travail, they say that's a son of sorrow. That's a terrible thing to have around. Oh, no. The father said, it's not son of sorrow. Wait till it's over. He's going to be the son of my right hand. there's going to be joy that comes in the morning. I want to tell you, brother, God's going to make up for all the sorrow this world has ever seen, for the joy that's coming in the morning. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So his father said, no, his name won't be Benoni. It'll be Benjamin, meaning the son of my right hand. Now, the peculiar thing about Benjamin, two places in Judges, I won't take time to read them. One place was a fellow by the name of Ehud, who had a left-handed ministry. He was a man left-handed. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And then another place in Judges, it talks about 700 chosen men, Benjamites, all of them left-handed, could throw a stone at a hare's breadth and not miss. Amen. How many left-handed people we have here tonight? You're left-handed. Come here, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Son of my right hand. The father said, he, Benjamin's going to be the son of my right hand. And how come that Benjamin's left hand was so anointed? Because it's the hand that's in the father's right hand. Amen? I want to tell you that there's a left-handed ministry that this people have, this company, this younger brother. There's a left-handed ministry. Amen. I don't know if I'll get to that tonight or not. Praise the Lord. But let me go on to this. And Rachel died. Now, we go on in the story and we find, as we continue on, that his brother sold Joseph down into slavery. And we go through Potiphar's house and we find that Potiphar's wife tempted him. He would not yield. He was not of the same cut and caliber as his brothers. Now, those 10 brothers of his, they were just half-brothers. They were of the servants, they were of the law, and they were just half-brothers, and they went their own ways, and they had some wicked ways about them. But Joseph was not of the same caliber. And he didn't have the love for them that he had for that younger brother of his, that one that was of his mother, the one that had never had grown up, never known a real love of a mother. Maybe Joseph might have been his mother to him. I mean, you know, Jacob, with 12 sons, Jacob no doubt was pretty busy. And that little boy growing up around the house without a mother, all he had was an older brother. Any of you ever known a little brother that had a big brother that just looked after him all the time? Well, that's the kind of heart Joseph had. And I could just see that Joseph looking after that little brother. I know this from the Scripture, that he loved that little brother with a passion. I'm sure that around there, he's like a mother to him. How many of you know that Jesus is like a mother to us? He's our mother, he's our father, he's our brother, he's our friend. He's everything, all right? But then Joseph got sold down there to the Ishmaelites and went on down to Potiphar's house. They brought his coat back and said, we found this out in the fields full of blood. It looks like some animal got him. And so as far as Benjamin knew and as the father knew, why, Joseph was dead. They didn't have any other testimony to that. The other brothers hid that dark secret in their heart, would never let that out, never told the father. For years it went on, 20 years or more it went by. Meanwhile, Joseph goes through the prison, and now he's up on Pharaoh's throne. And you know the vision, the dream that Pharaoh had, there was going to be 7 good years and then 7 bad years. And Joseph said, what you need to do is get somebody to administrate this corn during the good years, store it up, build barns, build silos, store it all up, and then during the 7 years you'll have plenty to feed the people. That sounded good to Pharaoh, and he said, I don't believe there's anybody who could do any better job at that than you. God's made me to know, something makes me to know that you're the man that's got the ability to do so. He appointed Joseph to be the administrator, said, you'll be rule over all the land, only in the throne will I be greater than thee. So there he sat. And anybody wanted corn, they said, go to Joseph. The Pharaoh wasn't fool with it. Pharaoh went out and played golf or something, see? Just went out and went fishing. He just went on a vacation. He just turned the whole work of it over to Joseph. And so, everything was done in Joseph's name. How many of you know that it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ all fullness is well? Hallelujah. And that everything is done in His name. I used to get worried about when I was a kid. I prayed so much to Jesus, and I thought, I wonder if the Father gets angry about that. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is grieved with me not ever praying to the Holy Spirit. Because I always prayed to Jesus. And I worried about that for a while. Till I came to the revelation, see? Everything is done in Jesus' name. And that pleases the Father. And the Holy Spirit comes to testify of Him. And it pleases the Holy Spirit. And so everything was done in Joseph's name. And he was administrating it for 7 good years. He collected all the corn up. And then the famine started. And they ran out of corn up in Canaan. And Jacob heard from the travelers coming through, they had lots of corn in Egypt. So he said to his 10 older brothers, or 10 older sons, he wouldn't send Benjamin out. He kept him covered. He kept him close to him. But he sent the other ones out and said, go get corn. I want to tell you something. There is a younger brother that the world hadn't seen yet. He meets together in little camp meetings, and conventions, and store buildings, and houses, garages sometimes, sometimes church buildings. But the world hasn't seen him. The world hasn't seen his exploits. He hasn't got out there and got all that corn yet. Because what he's going to do in his day is going to far exceed anything that they can bring back on their mules. Hallelujah. I'm coming to that. So, the 10 boys went down with their money to buy the corn. And when they came in, Joseph recognized them. Now, he was 17 years old when they sold him into slavery. He was 30 years old when Pharaoh brought him out of the prison. That's 13 years. 7 good years. That makes him 20 years since he left home. And a year or two of famine. So now he's 21 years and passed since he left home. They don't recognize him. He wears Egyptian clothes. He's older. He looks Egyptian. He speaks Egyptian. In fact, he spoke to them through an interpreter. They didn't even realize that he could understand what they were saying while he was listening to their conversations. So they came and they said, we want to buy corn. They said, who are you in here? He recognized them. He was looking at them. What have they done with my brother, Joseph? Benjamin's not here. Have they killed my Benjamin like they tried to kill me? What have they done with him? And he wanted to find out where Benjamin was. So he started saying, who are you anyhow? Well, they said, we're 10 brothers, all of one father, and we've come down to buy corn. We live up there in Canaan. He said, I think you're a bunch of spies. You've come down here to spy out the land so that you could bring an army in and get our corn. Oh, no, no, sir, Mr. Administrator. Oh, no, Mr. Governor, whatever they call him. Said, Your Majesty, we're not, no. And they bowed down and said, we're all 10 honest farmers, shepherds up there, and we just come to buy some corn. A likely story. 10 of you, all sons of one father? Is that all the sons he had, just 10 of you? Oh, they wouldn't lie to this fellow for nothing. He seemed to be a guy who really had discernment. They said, no, he actually had 12 sons. Yeah? Where's the other two? Well, one of them's at home with his father. Oh, that's a relief. And the other, bless his memory, is going on. He said, I don't believe a word you're saying, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a chance to prove it. He said, I'm going to let one of you go back and get the brother and bring him down here. So he put them all in jail for 3 days. But when the 3 days up, he brought them out. He said, I've changed my mind. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you go home. I'm going to keep one of you here. The rest of you go home. But he said, when you come back, you bring that brother with you, or don't you come back. You'll not see my face until that younger brother is with you. You hear me now? Don't expect to look on my face till you bring that brother with you. And so he kept Simeon. That's interesting. Simeon means hearing. They lost their hearing. Did you know the church world today has lost its hearing? That's why it doesn't know what's going on in the purposes of God. Their hearing is all bound up. He bound Simeon up before their eyes. I ought to read some of this here to you to let you know I'm still in the Bible. Hallelujah. All right. And he says here, and he turned. They talked about this. See, Reuben answered him, saying, didn't I speak to you, saying, don't sin against a child, and you would not hear? Therefore, also his blood is required. They were said, we are guilty concerning our brethren, that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. He turned away. Didn't you remember Jesus looking at Jerusalem and wept over Jerusalem and said, if you only knew your day, if you only knew the visitation when it came to you. And they didn't know that they were standing right there, and there was their brother. They didn't know. And he turned away and he wept. And then he turned back to him and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one of you. And he took Simeon. And he bound him before their eyes. Their hearing was bound. And he kept him there. And he sent the rest of them back home. And he said, now, let me tell you one thing. You're not going to see my face till you bring that brother. Hallelujah. They got back home. And they said, Dad, we got the corn. That's the good news. The bad news is we lost Simeon. And we can't go back until we take Benjamin. He said, you're not going to take him.
I won't let him go. Hallelujah. Jacob, their father, said to them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me.
And Reuben spake to his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. He's all I got left of my beloved. Here's my Benjamin here, and he's the only thing I got left of my beloved. I'm not going to let him out. Did you know God's got his people covered, and he won't let them out? And, you know, it's a good thing for us that God's got us covered, because if the devil knew what this company of people was going to do to his kingdom, he'd be after every one of you trying to kill you before you got home. But see, he's dumb. He don't know how dangerous you are. And the kingdoms of this world don't know how dangerous you are, or they'd strip you of everything you got. They'd destroy your little meeting places and everything else if they knew that you were out to destroy the kingdoms of this world. So, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, go again and buy us a little food. You know, that's symbolic of the small vision that God's people have today. Just give us a little food. Overcomers, marching triumphantly through the tribulation, putting our foot on the neck of the devil, overcoming the Antichrist. Oh, they can't believe for that. Just get us a corner in the cabin over there in the corner somewhere in Gloryland. A little food. Just go buy us a little food. Well, he's got a lot more for you than that. We're going to find out. So he said, go buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. I'm going to make a prediction to you based upon what I see in this Word of God. We're all looking for Jesus, looking to look upon His face. All right? You expect them to see Jesus? I want to tell you something. According to His Word, you're not going to see the face of Jesus till the manifestation of the sons of God. Until that younger brother comes forth. The world wants to see Jesus, but there's going to first be a manifestation of the younger brother before they'll ever see him. Because you see, the great desire in Joseph's heart is to get that younger brother out of the place where he is over there and bring him up here and bring him up and set him on the throne and help him to rule and reign over this land. He's not intended to bring Benjamin down and make him a gardener or put him in jail or make a servant out of him. His purpose is to bring that blood brother of his down and bring him up there again to help him to sit on this throne and rule this land. It's a pretty big job he's got. That's his purpose now. All right. So, they said, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And then they argued with Dad until Dad gave in and said, all right, said he's going to kill me, but go ahead and take him, but you better bring him back. So here they go, and they're nervous, okay? And they go down again after some corn. It's a life and death matter. Do you know this world is facing life and death matter? Amen. Right. Amen. This is not a game we're playing. This is not some religious fantasy we're chasing. This is life and death. I have seen people actually lose their lives in this move of God by turning their hand against God and turning away from God and getting out of the purpose of the God. I've seen them die. Amen. So anyhow, here they go back to Egypt. And they come up. And so Joseph sees them coming. He looks at them. There they are, 10 of them. He's got Simeon here. And he looks, and there's that fine, good-looking, strapping young man, his brother. Now, his idea is, I'm going to get him out where I can keep him here. Let them go do their thing, see? Let them go out and play their religious games. Let them go out there and plant their little gardens up there in their little Canaan land, but I'm going to get him on the throne here with me. And here's how he goes about it. He has a big feast, and he sets them around the table, and they're amazed because he sets them in order of their birth, in their age, all the way around, in protocol, just like, and they don't know how he knows this. He does. They don't know how well he knows them. You know, a lot of people don't know how well Jesus knows them. They're in the most thought. They think they're getting Bible something, you know, their thoughts and their, all that. Well, anyhow, here we go. So they have this feast. And it says, they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and set messes unto them from before him. Messes means meals, you know. All right? But Benjamin's meal was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry. This is amazing. Now, I've had two boys in my family, and Got a couple of grandsons coming up. I know growing boys can eat a lot. I got one, I take him to Pizza House. I just can't understand where he puts it all. He's like Brother Glenn. He's skinny, and he'll eat twice as much as me and still stay skinny. And I can understand that this boy, this younger brother, might have been really hungry and could have put away twice as much maybe as the rest of them had, but five times as much? No way. There was no way in the world that he had the capacity to eat everything set in front of him. Do you know that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above what you are even have the capacity to contain? For that Benjamin Company, that younger brother, that Sons of God Company, he's going to five, and five is the number of grace. And what you get is going to come by grace. It doesn't come because you're more holy. You're not going to get into the Sonship Company because you happen to know all the Sonship Scriptures, because you attend the Sonship Church, or because you made big donations, or that you preached it for 40 years. You don't get in that way. Paul makes it very plain in 1 Corinthians 1. If you make it in, friends, you're going to make it in by the grace of God. And when you stand before Him, you're going to have to confess, not by works, not by my brilliance, not by my understanding, not by the fact that I understood all the doctrines and I got in. Brother, there's going to be a lot of people get in and don't even know how to spell sonship. Right? And I can prove that to you from the Scripture, because you see, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the first fruits of what I'm talking about. How many of you know that a lot of people get the Holy Ghost and don't know what they got till somebody takes the Bible and shows them why they're talking in tongues? No doubt somebody here has had it happen to them. I've seen it happen to a lot of people that received the Holy Ghost and didn't know what it was they had till somebody got and said, "Hey, here's what you got. It's right here in Acts 2:4. And that's the first fruits we're talking about. And there's going to be people that come into this thing not because they understood all about it, not because they knew all the Scriptures and all of that, travail for it all their life, but because of their relationship with this older brother, because of the grace of God that brought them in. Five times as much, it says, as any of their messes. And so he commanded the steward of his house, said, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn's money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Now here's what happened. Not to read the whole chapter, but they started out of town the next morning, and they were in high spirits. They said, "Man, we got it made. Simeon's out of jail. Benjamin's with us. We're headed home. All 11 of us. We got all the beasts loaded down, as much corn as we can carry. And we're heading home. Now, fellas, be careful. So far, so good. Don't start any trouble. Any of the natives around here throw rocks at you, don't throw them back. Don't run any red lights. Anybody say anything bad to you, don't even talk back to them. Just let's be peaceful and law-abiding and get out of town and get on our way." All right? So here they go. And they're getting out of town. And they're on pins and needles, see? They don't know what's... Boy, anything can happen. They've got to get this boy back to daddy's. And so, on their way back, they get out of town a little ways. They get feeling better. City limits just passed by, you know, and they said, "Well, we got it made. We're home free. Let's sing some of the songs of Canaan." So they break out singing, you know, and going along, and all of a sudden somebody looks over and sees a cloud of dust coming. Well, what's that? They soon find out. It's a steward with some soldiers. Comes running up there, charging up on the horses, and stops them and says, "Hold everything! What's the matter? What's the matter? What's happened? Any trouble?" "Trouble? After my master treated you so good, feasted you, gave you corn as much as you can carry, and then, you dirty thieves, you would steal his own personal silver cup." "What? We wouldn't do nothing like that. Anybody got a silver cup?" "No." "You got a gap?" "No." "Simeon?" "No. I wouldn't touch, man. I was just wanting to get out and get home." "Benjamin, you got it?" "No, sir. I haven't got it." "Anybody?" "No." So they said, "You go ahead. Search the sacks. You find that silver cup in any of our sacks, you can kill the guy that's got it, and the rest of us will be your slaves." Big talk. Got our doctrines all straight. Now just let God try to tangle us up now. Ah! You ain't going to find no You ain't going to find no quirks in our doctrine. Boy, bless God, we got it right on the wall. Right there it is. We believe number one, number two, number three, number four. That's it. No more. Search them. So they started the oldest. Reuben, Simeon, Levi. Right on down. And finally, they're getting down towards the end. The fellows are tying up their sacks again, getting ready to go on. Come on, let's get this show on the road now. Get through with it. And they come to the youngest one, Benjamin. The last one. Open the sack up. There's the cup. What? Benjamin! How could you do this? Tell us. I didn't do it. I don't know why it's in there. I didn't put it in there. Do you think they believe him? You son of Rachel! Just like your big brother, Joseph. Always causing trouble. Oh, what a reproach to be like Joseph. Someone came up to me and said, 13 years ago, I think it was, I was warned against you. They warned me you was a heretic and a false preacher and all. But you know what I was? I was, that false doctrine I was preaching, they said, he's preaching you can be like Jesus. Now, they never did. I don't know if anybody ever said that he preaches you can go out and get drunk and go to heaven. You can have two or three wives or women on the side and all that. I did have them come and accuse me of that one time up in Springfield from a fellow working in a religious headquarters there. Came out and said he'd been told down where he worked that I was at a harem. They wanted to check it out. But they never did say, well, he preaches, that you can just do any old thing and get by and go to heaven. But you know what he preaches? He preaches you can really be like Jesus. That heretic. You can be just like his big brother. Praise the Lord. What a reproach to bear. A mother came to Jesus one time with her two sons. She said, Master, I've got a request. He said, what is it? She said, well, when you come into the kingdom, she said, would you put one of my sons on your left hand and one of them on your right hand? And he looked at those two boys whose names were James and John. And he said, fellas, are you able to drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with my baptism? And they said, we're able. He said, well, I want to tell you something. He said, you're going to drink my cup. But to give that place on the right and left hand, so that's the Father's to give. But he said, you're going to drink my cup. What is that cup? That's a cup of his reproach. Poor little Mary. Bless her heart. Little teenage girl back there that had been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And the hour came when she could no longer hide it. I don't see her running in after her encounter with the Holy Ghost. And running in, and the angel Gabriel came there and gave her an announcement. I don't see her running in and saying, Mama, Daddy, guess what? I met an angel out there and he told me that's going to have a baby. No, I don't hear her say anything about it. Until one day, it simply says in the Scripture, very bluntly, she was found with child. She didn't say she announced she was going to have any. She was found. She was caught. You think her neighbors believed her story about an angel? Would you realize the reproach that pure virgin girl had to bear to bring the Son of God into this world? All of her life stained with that shadow of a mystery. How? Who is the father of this child? Do you know when Jesus was grown up and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that the Pharisees had that thing had been noised around and they were throwing this up to him, saying, we know who our father is. We're not born to fornication, right? They still were throwing that up to him. That little girl had to bear that reproach her whole life long. She drank of a silver cup. Benjamin, sons of God, I want to tell you, there's a silver cup for you to drink of, to bear his reproach. Hebrews 13 says, going without the camp, bearing his reproach. Sure, I've carried a little bit of that reproach in my life and ministry. I rejoice in that. It's been very little compared to what I've seen other people have to suffer of the reproach of the gospel. Hallelujah. Frankly, I don't consider that I've been persecuted and that I've suffered. To tell you the truth, I've had a blast. Really. I've enjoyed myself these last 30 years of my ministry and the times of the trials and tribulations. I've learned things and I've had a blast. I've had a wonderful time. Never once did I ever look back and say, I wish I was back there in sin where I could be, free and people would accept me and all. Never once. I don't think I've ever looked back and say, I wish I didn't have this. Hallelujah. I've had a glorious time. but there's been a cup of reproach to drink of. So they funnel all this stuff up, loaded the mules again, cast dust on their heads, rent their clothing, and back into the city they went to face this man and the wrath of this governor. And so when they got back, they began to plead with him. We don't know how this happened. This boy's young. I don't know what all they said. The scripture doesn't tell us all of it. No doubt they said, this lad is young. He doesn't understand. Please have mercy on us. We don't know how this thing got in his sacks. He claims he didn't do it. He said, well, you made the bargain that I could kill the man that did it, and the rest of you be slaves. But I'm going to be more merciful than you are. Boy, was he ever more merciful than they had been to him. He said, I'm going to be more merciful than your judgment. You know, it's a good thing that carnal man isn't going to judge this world. It's a good thing the judgment's in the hand of God. I want to tell you, he said, all right, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to put you in slavery. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to let you fellows go home, the 11 of you. This fellow that did this dirty deed, I'm going to keep him here and I'll make him a servant here. I won't even kill him. I'll just make him a servant here, make him work it off. But you go on home. Just go on, do your thing now. I'm going to keep him here with me. And that's what he was intending to do all the time. He worked all this out so he could get Benjamin out from the rest of his brethren and get him up here on the throne with him. Let them go do their thing. Let them have their outer court ministry. Let them be keepers of the house. He's going to have a people, he said to Ezekiel, that's going to come into the Holy of Holies to me and minister unto me. The rest of these ministries that have been unfaithful, he said, I'm going to let them minister to the house. But there's going to be a company that will not minister to the house. They'll come into the Holy of Holies and minister unto me. And that's what his purpose was with Benjamin. Oh, glory to God. And then they begin to plead with him. You should read Judah's pleas. Judah. Did you realize it was Judah? There was the one that had suggested selling him to the Ishmaelites. Right. He was the one who said, let's make some money on him. Let's sell him away. And now he's pleading for the life of his brother because he knows what dad's going to do. He said, sir, please, you don't understand. Our father won't live through this. We've pledged our sons. The life of our sons depend upon this. Our father's going to die of shock when we come back without this boy. And he begins, you ought to read his plea. It's pitiful. It's so pitiful that this Joseph breaks down, begins to cry. He says, get all the Egyptians out of the room. When all the Egyptians are out, and I tell you, he's going to separate the goat nations from the sheep nations. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time when the Egyptians and the tares are going to be separated from the wheat. Hallelujah. He said, get all the Egyptians out. Now when he got all the brothers there, he unveils himself to them. He said, now look at me, fellas. And he begins to talk in their own language. Oh, bless God. And he says to them, don't you know who I am? Don't you know me? I've been with you all this time and you don't know me? And he said, look at me. I'm your brother. 23 years ago, you sold me down here into slavery. You did it, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. Hallelujah. It was God that put Jesus on the cross. They meant it to kill him, to get him out of the way. If the principalities and powers in heavenly places had have known the wisdom of God, they would have never had any part in crucifying the Lord of glory. Because they were bringing about the purpose and the will of God when they inspired those demon-possessed men back there to beat and crucify the Lord of glory. It was God that put Jesus on the cross, but he did it for good. They meant it for evil, but he did it for good. So Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He said, God sent me down here, and he said, now I've got a place of safety for you. In the things that's coming upon the land, he said, go get Dad and tell him I'm here and bring him down here and settle here. I'll get a good place fixed. I've got a land here that's flowing with milk and honey for all of you. And on account of the fact that I'm going to have Benjamin sitting up here on the throne by me, that's what he's really going to say, see. I'm going to have him say, but the rest of you are going to be blessed. I'm going to have something for you too. I want to tell you, the nations of the world are going to be blessed by what happened, and the desires of this elder brother to get that younger brother on the throne is going to cause the nations of the world to be blessed. And there's going to be a land of milk and honey flowing for all the family of God. All of them are not going to sit on the throne, but all of them are going to be blessed. And so they went back, you know the story, and they came down there. But the thing I see in this story, dear friends, is a relationship between two brothers that transcended all the family activities there. This elder brother had such a passion to see that younger brother come from where he was to where the elder brother is. Come out of his place to come up here where I am. And didn't Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. All glory to God. God bless you for your patience. But I want you to realize this relationship with an elder brother. He's got a desire, he's got a plan, he's got a purpose for you. Would you bow your head? Hallelujah. For there are many, saith the Lord, like Saul of Tarsus, going about in their own ways after their own vision, and seemingly not even in the purposes of God. But I have my eye upon them as I did upon him. From his mother's womb I had chosen him. And I have chosen you, my beloved. For there are some here in the midst who have not yielded your lives to the purposes of God for this end time work of God. But my call is upon you, and I will keep working, and I will keep drawing, and until I bring you to myself. Let thy spirit and thy heart be contrite before me, and resist no longer the drawing of my spirit. But son, my hand is reaching upon you now. Jim, I cast aside your own ambitions and your own ways and your own thoughts, and come unto me. And let me do for you far and exceedingly above what you have ever dreamed of. For lo, God is calling you tonight to someone here. I wonder if we couldn't stand and sing. And as we sing, if you're here tonight, and if you need God, if you want to dedicate your life in a new way to the purpose of God, then come and give him your heart and your life tonight. Come and say, God, I'm giving you a new dedication. I'm laying my life down. I want to be on the throne with you. He's calling somebody tonight. I don't know who it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So would we sing?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.